Right now, we're about to hear Kurt Bochner talk about mixing lists and power. And as soon as he comes back, I think the talk will probably begin.
So, sorry. A number of disasters of my own thinking happened. So, I haven't had a chance to really review them as I would like to, but we'll go ahead and do our best. I'm Kurt Bochner. I'll be talking about how to implement and run multiple Lisp dialects within the Kava environment. So first of all, is Kava. It was originally an implementation of a C language that compiles C into Java bytecodes. Which of course is not just the compiler, but also the necessary runtime environment. And it's written in Java with some of the runtime in Scheme or other appropriate languages. And people like it for various reasons, including the convenient integration and scripting for Java. Since the original Scheme implementation, it's been extended to other languages, and that's what I will concentrate on. So why would one be interested in multiple languages in such an environment? Well, first, different people prefer different languages, or even different Lisp dialects. And, writing a compiler is a lot of work. And so if you can amortize that over multiple groups, languages, developers, that makes sense. And you can, if you have libraries, some utility package written in one language, it might be convenient to use it in some other language, to transcribe it, convert it in some way. Sometimes you have different subgroups within a large project doing different things and using different languages because one language might be appropriate to one subproject, while another is more appropriate for some other project, and an integrated environment makes it possible for them to collaborate better. It also allows the possibility of migrating from one language to another. For example, the FSF has this long-term vision of replacing Emacs list and the Emacs editor with Scheme, and if you can sort of mix them, that's a more practical vision. So I'm going to concentrate on the Lisp family of languages. Currently, these three languages, which have existing at least partial implementations in the Kava environment. Scheme is the most mature, full-featured introduction use. And Common Lisp, there's a little small proof of concept implementation, some of the core facilities out there. And Emacs Lisp, the extension language for the Emacs editor, has enough to run some existing Emacs code and put up Windows and run some Emacs. There's some other languages which I won't talk as much about. Most interesting one and most developed one is Xquery, which is a new language that's in the process of being standardized by the World Wide Web Consortium. It has some neat ideas in it, and it's primarily for selecting, processing, and manipulating XML-like tree data structures. And there's some others. Another interesting one in this context is DRL, the Beautiful Report Language, which was a template language. That is, you have a mix of Scheme and HTML in a single pseudo program, so that sort of runs on a web server. And that actually was developed by Bruce Lewis somewhere in the Boston area. And that's being used by various people. I haven't had much experience with that. That isn't integrated in the core language framework. Though I've been working on a next generation DRL, which is basically the same language but integrated in the using the language, the Java framework a little more smoothly. In all cases, The basic flow of running is the same. You first read or parse the source code, which gives you an internal data structure, which is a tree of expression nodes. Then you tree walk this data structure, you annotate it, you analyze it, you figure out various optimizations, and you figure out, you know, closed representations and things like that. If this is immediate mode, i.e. you're just, you know, typing things that the read-eval print loop, and the tree is simple enough, then you just interpret it as is. Otherwise, we generate code. Specifically, we generate one or more Java classes where the actual scheme or Lisp instructions get compiled into bytecode instructions in the Java classes. And then, if we're in immediate mode, we load and execute these classes immediately without writing out any files, just in main memory. Or we can then save them in a file for future use as regular Java classes.
What exactly do you call a simple tree?
Currently, it means no lexical scoping, just function calls, constants, if then else, no left lambda. That will probably change soon. I will probably push more into the simple tree for purposes. This sort of, for example, limits defining macros and using them if they're procedural macros in the same module. Standard Lisp macros, syntax rules macros, are non procedural, so they work. So in the Lisp environment, you know, as we all know, the first part of parsing is reading, and the result is an S expression. The consists that the read gives us are a special class with not only a car and a footer cell, they also have the line numbers. So this allows the rest of the compiler to track line numbers and column numbers. The reader uses the a common Lisp reader based on the rules in the common Lisp specification that was actually rewritten in Java or written in Java. And has a read table, which is also written in Java, but the actions can be in arbitrary language, but the actual framework is in Java. This is simplified bootstrapping. Bootstrapping the environment is relatively straightforward, because then you don't have to sort of build a compiler to build a compiler. You only have to build a compiler to build the option, the runtime routines that you don't need to build a compiler. So, you know, as before, or as implied before, you read the read table, you get an S expression, which then gets converted to the internal expression data structure. That stage is macro expansion, name lookup, name resolution, stuff we're familiar with. Though there are, the usual complications when you have, for example, in Scheme, you have macro hygiene, which is not trivial. In either way, you have forward references, you have macros defined before they're used, which in some cases is allowed, or just generally forward references. And perhaps this kind of also supports several of the compile modules. There's some issues there. That also is a complication dealing with importing statically compiled definitions from one module and this is the compile line. When running any in a Java environment. Java, as I said, is a hybrid class-based language, by which I mean that most values are heap-allocated objects, or references to heap-allocated objects. All the classes extend a root object class, and they're also primitive unboxed values, like floats and ints and stuff like that, that are not heap-allocated. And so when we're implementing a language in this environment, we have to figure out how we map the scheme or Lisp or other language data types to Java classes. or Java primitive types, but that's, you know, somewhat more straight. And so the implementer has a choice. Sometimes we use standard Java classes when that makes sense. Sometimes we use custom classes. And the choice might be different for different languages, even in the same family. Listening scheme might have different similar representations or string representations for different reasons. So one big difference, or one interesting issue, is how to deal with symbols. One difference between scheme and list is scheme symbols have no state, while in common list and most other list dialects, you have various properties like value cell, function cell, and property list. And the problem with this traditional model is that it doesn't really handle multi-threading very well, because you really want to have a thread specific value to handle throughput, for example. So in Kava, these symbols are immutable. They don't have any cells. Instead, or at least not in the symbol object itself. Instead, there's a separate environment, which is a hash table that maps a pair of a symbol and a property to a cell. And a property can be an arbitrary object, the hashing is done by basically taking its address, or if you know Java, using the identity hash code. And the special value null for a property is used to get the value cell. And the special function property, which is a unique object, is used to get a function cell in languages that have separate function and value cells, i.e. normal. And these environments can be thread specific, and you can also inherit the environments from a parent thread to a child thread. Yes?
Is this how you play with these special variables?
That's how thread variables are implemented.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, the common Lisp syntax is, you know, there's a little, I don't remember exactly whether we, you know, we don't declare, for example, the common Lisp declare form isn't, you know, there, but, you know, if you don't have a Lisp binding for something, it becomes a special variable. The common Lisp language defines a hierarchy of sequence types, strings, arrays, etc., lists. Scheme doesn't have such a hierarchy, all the types are separate. But Kava does implement such a common Lisp compatible hierarchy that makes sense in an object oriented language. Kava also has multidimensional arrays. And as an extension over the common Lisp multidimensional arrays, the displacement is not just a linear displacement, but it's an arbitrary affine mapping. And it can be based on a they call a uniform vector, for example, a byte vector, so you can have a very general arrays, but moderately efficient. One complication when dealing with mixing Lisp and Scheme is how to deal with what I call the nil problem. In Scheme, we have three different objects for the empty list, the symbol nil, and the Boolean false value. And these have to compare as non-EQ. In common Lisp and Emacs Lisp, these are all the same object. And this incompatibility complicates, of course, any attempt to share libraries or call between the languages. That's an inherent problem. And so basically for a common Lisp implementation, we have to think of this, you know, you pick one of those three and just define that to be nil. And currently the implementation, what I chose is the empty list value is the nil, which means the nil symbol has a different representation than all the other symbols. But the rationale for that is that you're more likely to be, you know, if you're passing lists to a function in some other language, you really don't want to copy every list. But, you know, you can convert false, you can convert, you know, the symbol nil fairly easily, as long as it's not embedded in a base directory. Of course, it's still not both words. You have large list, which has the false value or the symbol nil in it, then you have to start with div on that. There's no good solution for add level and drop level. The Kava environment has a general streams facility. First, pointing out, since we're based on Java, we get all of the Java Unicode support. And that includes Unicode character strings and streams. As I mentioned, the Kava reader is programmable, retable-based, retable-compatible, following the common specification. It has a general format function with most of the commonest features implemented, and this is usable from used from Scheme. People use it from, and of course now people, a lot of Scheme implementations also have various variations of subsets of commonest function. And it's also an efficient query printer, which I basically stole from SQLite commonest and then rewrote into what I believe is more common. Into Java when I'm using arrays to list and stuff like that. Plus, it, again, it solves a bootstrapping problem by writing into Java.
So did you steal our query printer bugs too?
No, I fixed all of those. No. I have no idea.
When was it taken?
A while ago, a couple years ago.
Okay, then we've been getting bug fixes since then.
Well, I've also, every once in a while, it's one of those things that works fine most of the time. Then, when somebody shows you an example, so you come up with something, especially if it's not quite nested properly, and you say, oh, this is doing something really bad, and you sort of have to debug it, and twice a year or something, I have to sort of try to remember how the credit printer works and at least enough to figure out the bug. It's bug free now, right? I don't know. It's only the actual formatting engine, the low level part of the credit printer, the thing that sort of does the line breaking and stuff like that. The thing that maps S expressions to the low level formatting isn't, that's a code use kind of decision. Right, it's a small matter for me. Multiple values are another interesting little thing which different languages have and are similar but not quite the same. Scheme, list, appendix, queries, they all have some kind of multiple values. So list, common list, and scheme are comparatively similar, but one important difference is that in common list, you sort of automatically coerce multiple values to a single value in a context that expects a single value in the scheme as an error or a prime. The XQuery language, one of the things that's interesting about it is that the XML language I mentioned earlier, is that all expressions evaluate the sequences, and these are non-nested sequences. They're not sequences in the commonest sense. They are sequences in the multiple value sense because the sequence of one item is the same as one item. Which has a disadvantage, you can't miss things, but it has some other very nice properties. So basically in Kava, I map that into the same representation as I use for multiple properties. So one point is that XQuery sequences can be quite long. In commonest and scheme, they very rarely are. In theory, yes, you can sort of apply values to some huge string, but I assume very seldom do that. So there's basically two ways of handling multiple values in the Kava environment. One is the implicit, a producer-consumer model, something that that's optimized for something like XQuery, where you're generating lots of values that are going to some other consumer, and so the push model is basically a producer that whenever it generates a value, it calls a method in some consumer object, which then takes care of it. And so, since output streams implement this consumer, it means that if you have an expression in XQuery that generates a lot of values, they sort of get written down one by one rather than under all that. You don't build a object on that. There is also an explicit representation of multiple values, which is more likely to happen in a schema common list, which is a data structure called TrueList, which is a fairly complicated data structure, but it also handles sort of linearized lists and trees and stuff like that. So it's a compact SML representation that I use heavily in Xcode. This kind of languages, of course, functions are very important, and there's a number of different ways we can implement functions when we have some lower level representations. Basically, we compile a function or a lambda expression in our source language into a method in a Java class. Sometimes the function can get inline. That's an exception. If you have optional parameters, if there's two fixed parameters and two optional parameters, we generate three methods. One for the each argument length, which then ends up calling the base one with all the which does the actual work. So again, handling optional parameters is also very important. The Java also supports keyboard and nest parameters, which aren't quite as important. That has to take part. Calling a known function usually compiles to a direct method invocation, which is a function value that extends procedure. Calling an unknown uses a virtual method and an apply that calls the right method. And there's an extra magic that will take off generic functions, and in the future, but not yet, we will soon, hopefully this year, I will end support for open dimensions. We can define a class, something similar to that class, including support for multiple inheritance by using Java interface rather than classes. And as an extension, we can define methods as part of the class. We can define simple class, which is a really direct mapping, which people who use kind of like because it makes it easier to mix Java and scheme. There's also support for all other functions, and at some point, we can add maybe interesting to anything like most of class, L and TLO, so something for change class will be a challenge and probably not worthwhile. Modules, they can be a source file. You could turn it into a module. A module class will be helpful classes. The compound definition becomes a Java field. And there's a magic at compile time when you import a module to figure out what exactly you're importing. And it handles macro hygiene and separate compilation and macros. First, if we're a compiler, and we want to be type aware. And the Java facilities are not really sufficient. And since we need to do a compiler, and of course the Xcode language is quite complex. And we have since seen with all the type declarations, declares the parameter, the return value should be double, which is the unboxed 64-bit native double. This generates optimal bytecode, a native arithmetic, no heap allocation, or anything. And we handle exceptions various ways. We support scheme continuations, but only the exit ones for now, the full ones. Full call with current continuation is planned, but not there yet. We support full tail calls, though. Not common list conditions. There are also scheme extensions that support conditions, need to have in. To help debugging, and there will be track of line called numbers, and that get preserved in the bytecode, which means that low-level Java exception stack traces have a line number that refers to the scheme function, and it's the scheme line with the CMS. Dominique Boucher wrote a Eclipse plugin, which is a very nice scheme editor that is optimized for Java, and that also supports debugging of in inside the Eclipse IDE, which is potentially quite nice. You know, you can set breakpoints and get stack traces. But for it to be nice, it needs to understand better about schemes of data types.
In short, full feature, a lot of people use it. People like the features, the performance, the Java integration. Currently, I'm a consultant, but the Merced Systems, which is a little company in Fraser Shores, Peninsula, they like it and they have some business on it. They're doing quite well, and I guess they're paying my bills right now. EMXList is more so-so. Hasn't really been a lot of work done lately, but there's been some progress recently. I received a port to another toolkit, so we can now run Emacs Windows on the SWT toolkit. It's our basic functionality works, but I wouldn't depend on it. CommonList has even less implemented, or is more in terms of the substrate. You know, a lot of the functionality like read tables and format and arrays and symbols and sort of packages are implemented, but it's not all pieces aren't all put together. The actual CommonList syntax macros aren't quite there. Again, it's a matter of priority. Right now people are interested in Scheme because that works, so that's what people clamor for and send me bug reports for and send me patches for and pay me for, and so that's what that's a good one. Final words. Right in time, it's close.
Actually, I have a question.
Yeah, it's not good.
That's an
answer question, Beth. Yeah, I did my math wrong. Yeah, okay, so, go back. I rushed on about stuff. The main website, it's the greatest speech out of project I've ever heard of. One of the problems is lack of publicity, and one of the problems there is that I'm trying really hard to get a release out. I don't want to push the publicity, update the website until I have version 1.8 out, which is real soon now. But until then, people use the CVS version. So the CVS version is quite useful. Yes?
Tell us a little bit more about the integration of the GUI, the Java GUIs.
That's up to you. I don't do that. Well, I'm interested in GUI. I've played with them a little bit. I have a little bit of code, but there's nothing that's supported. There's nothing, there's nothing
special.
There's the JEmacs Emacs list support. That's special purpose. That's designed for building Emacs. It's not a general purpose GUI, obviously. I have some classes that I'm very interested in, stuff that I'm interested in playing with, but that's just experimental. What people do is it's very easy in Java to write wrappers around Java packages. And that's sort of one of the points. You know, people use a list or a scheme in a Java environment is to access this huge mass of Java stuff, or because they have all this other stuff that's in Java, and it's very easy to write wrappers around Java methods. Just call a Java method from Scheme, and you can access arbitrary Java objects, like windows and frames and stuff like that.
But do people use this for large GUI projects?
I don't know, but I think they yes and no. They send me bug reports, which I usually, simplify bug reports. People, for example, Merced, they have a GUI, and I think they access it from Java, but I don't know exactly what they do. I know people do it, I'm fairly sure, but I don't know exactly what they do. But basically, they write, some wrapper that fits with how they want to work, and that sort of wraps Scheme or some other Java GUI. Start again.
I was thinking of the problem of mail and PMJs and stuff like that. This is really a problem of different semantics across different these languages.
Mm-hmm.
So is it really a problem that you need to deal with? I mean, why people use the engines or mail, they really mean something different.
Yeah.
And the meaning of what they call it is not your problem.
Well, no, okay. If my problem is, if people write in Scheme, they want to have nil, empty list, and false be defined, match, you know, the Scheme semantics, and you know, do the right thing for Scheme, and be three separate. If they write in Common List, they want to write, you know, nil or, you know, paren paren, and have them be the same thing, and have, you know, a Boolean expression return the same thing. So what is the issue is whether, to what extent we support mixing them. If I write some utility package in Scheme and I want to call it from common list or vice versa.
Yeah, but actually that's what I meant.
Yeah.
What I meant is that if people want to mix different list dialects, maybe there are places where they should mix explicitly. Like, you know, the user would probably have to say, I'm using the nil in the sense of common list or in the sense of Scheme.
Mm-hmm.
And so have some way to write that he is talking about nil in Scheme or a nil in common list, which would mean the same thing.
I do have a sort, yes, that sort of, for example, you might do some package prefixing to say, I mean, Scheme, I say common list colon nil, and or Scheme colon nil if I'm in common list, you know, sort of thing. Also, there is a hack for type declarations. I can say, you know, this is a Boolean, but this is also a Scheme Boolean versus a common list Boolean, and if I take an expression and convert it to a Scheme Boolean, I expect to get, you know, Scheme true or false. If I convert it to a common list Boolean, I expected to get, you know, nil or tilde.
You mentioned that you record blind and then held under the source information. Why did you decide to do that in a slightly more lispy approach of recording which S expression in order of the file has the code of it?
That might. I just did it that way. That might. I don't know which is more lispy. Or yes, it might make. Yeah. It's a little more complicated, I think, when you're doing transforms, macro transforms, because you have to preserve that mapping across your macro expansions.
So you have to do that more in
color. Right, but it's a local transformation. I generate a. If I'm generating a new pair. In my macro expander, you know, based on some input there, you know, I can just copy it. It's more of a local mapping rather than having to. It works either way. Just this is the way I did it. It may not be the. And it might be. It's sort of kind of useful, you know. If I read something, I get this thing back which has the line number in it, rather than some mysterious data structure in some mysterious place.
But also goes to class file and have debugging.
Right. Well, you could do that either way. You could have a separate data structure. The question is whether the line numbers are in the const cells or sort of hidden somewhere in a table somewhere.
Probably.
Well, I guess
the
dark blue chart first. Right, yeah.
Okay. You mentioned that you compile some functions to direct Java method calls, which implies you're using the Java call stack, but then you say you support tail calls. So how do you do that?
Well, first, it's option. There's two modes right now. When you compile in Java mode, where you use the Java call stack in a more quote natural way, you return function values as Java function method results. Most people do that. That's the default, and I think most people want that because they want to. It integrates with Java usually, and they don't care so much about the tail calls. Now, some people do care about the tail calls. And in that case, we still compile the Java function, the source function, into a Java method. But instead of returning the result, it takes an extra parameter, which is a context, which corresponds, which is a coarse data structure, which you could think of as corresponding to the registers of some hardware machine. And then, so when there's a tail call in this method, instead of calling that tail call, it just puts a pointer to the tail call function in this context, and then returns, and then there's a sort of a driver loop. There's some name for this technique.
And trampoline.
Trampoline, yeah.
J-Scheme had that thing. They call it engine.
Yeah. So it's a variation of a well-known technique.
Have you ever run the juicy old ANSI test so I can find this for it?
I would love to, you know, have a useful, at least, you know, let's start with, you know, like, you know, Common Lisp language one, for example, and, you know, that wouldn't take a whole lot of work to do. It's just, you know, if somebody's interested in helping in this or providing money or you know, I'd love to work on this, but you know, right now, you know, I'm focusing on schema experting, a little bit of Emacs Lisp and Common Lisp. I'm trying not to break them. Register. Yeah, it's a handwritten parser. I'm from the school of handwritten recursion descent parsers.
Did you run any benchmark for comparing, implementation of scheme in Java or the native in Java?
I have it a long time ago. It's competitive. Things have changed so much in the scheme. And now in the Java world, you know, now we have long passive interpreters. And then potentially, you know, Kava has this big advantage that there's, you know, there's people putting millions into just-in-time compilers and optimizing Java bytecodes. And, you know, and I translate, you know, into moderately efficient Java bytecodes. And, you know, yes, there's more accuracy to be optimal and optimizing. People seem to be happy with the performance. The chief of Marcelo thing tried some other scheme implementation in Java, which was, you know, a lot slower, which, you know, but in most cases, you know, performance is fast enough anyway. For number crunching, yeah, then you might want to sort of, you know, if you have a compute-intensive application, you probably want to do some specific benchmarks on that application, and then maybe we can sort of optimize it to get back.
So you in your provide a scheme, I guess, like the library, or provide access to the multi-threading
Yes, there is it's basically multi-list, multi-schemes future model. You know, you say future expression, and the expression gets sort of evaluated in a new fit, and then the result of
that, like, lock.
The locking, well, some parts are done by the implementation, like, but locking, you know, like getting the value of a symbol and stuff like that's my job. But, you know, but application level locking is the application's responsibility.
It's by syntax word.
Yes, there is the Kava has a synchronized statement, and there's a trivial, you know, scene of that statement. One more question?
Yes. Can you Unicode support? I'm particularly interested in, as I'm doing another listening job, right, are you paying attention to some of these interesting things about whether characters are equivalent canonically or any of that stuff, or is it, does your printer pay attention to the line break algorithm?
No, I basically, it's fairly, I assume, I don't do any canonization or fancy stuff. I assume you know, I handle, you know, I understand about spaces and white space and but I don't know about variable width characters or anything like that, or zero width characters or combining points or anything like that. I guess the wrap up is, yes, please try it out. Please, let me know. If you are implementing Lisp or Scheme in Java, you know, maybe, you know, we can work together, you know. I think it's a good. I'm working on gradually making Kava into a substrate for different languages. You know, not, you know, it started out scheme specific. Now it's usable for. It requires me to do all of the low level stuff, so I hope to improve that. So please contact me.